With that statement, we say welcome to another edition of Blind Like Me, creaking couch and all. We're here,
creaking floor and all.
We don't mind. We don't. It doesn't bother us a bit. I'm Phil Parr, and with us are Janet and Felix Bannon. Are you folks married? Are you playing? Or what are you? Are y'all? Is she Janet Bannon?
No.
We're
not married.
You're not married.
Well, no, we've been together for about 5 years, though.
Sometimes things work out better that way, you know?
Well, that's what they say in the blues.
Well, Felix Bannon is totally... Are you totally blind, Felix?
Just about.
What is that?
Just about. I mean, I used to have more light perception. I used to have enough to ride a bike, and I don't know, it sort of went away over the years, you know?
Over the years. Well, just how old are you over the years? You're not very old.
What am I, 54? Am I 54? God.
I wouldn't have thought that. I thought you were younger than 54.
I know. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Lots of people think I am, but...
Maybe you just seem younger, or what? I don't know what the deal is. But anyway, we met Felix at we were in San Francisco and down at Fisherman's Wharf, and here was this guy and another guy sitting playing two guitars and playing all kind of blues stuff and a little light rock and roll. And sure enough, one of the guys was Felix, and we visited with he and Janet. And boy, by the time I got home from San Francisco, y'all were on the list. You were signed up. You had.
I knew that was out for trouble.
We told you about Blind Like Me and Blind Handyman, and sure enough, by the time I got back to Lufkin, you had already joined and were already sending messages. I was amazed that you'd done it. All right, Felix. Do what?
The efficient Janet.
The efficient Janet. She.
Well, I didn't know, and Felix didn't know about the list or the your show on ACB Radio until you told us.
Yeah.
Didn't know it even existed.
Yeah, I
didn't know any of this.
Cool.
We were like, whoa, all right. Because I used to work for CCB, and I was recording engineer for a whole bunch of years for CCB.
What is CCB?
California Council of the Blind.
Oh, I didn't know that. You were...
I was their recording engineer for, well, the Bob Acosta, you know, the Bob Acosta episodes.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what am I saying, episodes? For when Bob Acosta was president.
Uh-huh. And what? I'm lost. Anyway, let's get back and talk about your early life when you were just a kid. Why do you not have sight? What happened to your eyes?
Oh, I had rental. What do they call it? Rental until fibroplasia in those days.
Fibroplasia, yeah.
Yeah, they call it retinopathy afterward. I guess they call it.
Yeah.
Which isn't that the same term as what happens to when people lose feeling in their feet when they're diabetic?
I don't know. Is it?
That's what Leanne told me. That's what, you know. And then I don't know how they could call two completely different things the same thing in medical terms, but also whatever.
Whatever.
You know, I'm the guitar player. That's not my job.
Yeah, we're not supposed to be medical people. We're guitar players, right? We don't have to.
Yeah, something like that.
Worry about that. All right. You had brothers and sisters. Do you have a?
I have one sister who lives up in Robert Park.
And her sight is good.
Yeah.
She has no eye problem whatsoever.
Well, she has night blindness to a degree, but she can still drive. She just chooses not to. And you know, if driving at night doesn't work for her, then hey, you know what? Better than getting in a wreck.
Yeah, but at least she can drive at night. You can't drive anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when they decided to send you to school, where did you go? Did you go to public school, blind school, or what did they do for you?
Well, let's see. I lived in New York. I was born in New York. What was that? It crashed.
What crashed?
Somebody just, I don't know.
No, Skype didn't crash. Trust me. We're still here.
You should take Skype and put it as offline status. Not offline.
I know, I should have.
As invisible status.
I know, I should have.
Because otherwise other people are going to try calling.
They may or may not. I'm not going to worry about it.
We won't. We don't sweat the small stuff here. Anyway, so you lived in New York. You think Batavia when you think about New York.
I went to Batavia for a couple of days.
Days? Yep. Just a couple of days?
Because I lived in Tarrytown, and when I went to kindergarten in normal school, I went to up through fourth grade in normal school. Then I went to the New York Institute. In normal school, people didn't know what to do with me. And I was just such that people just didn't know what to do with me. I was just having a hard time in school. And then when I went to the New York Institute, it was weird. I didn't start to like emerge until I went to the California School for the Blind, and then things started to make sense.
What do you mean things started to make sense? I don't understand that. What do you mean?
What I mean was, somehow I just seem like at the New York Institute, they wouldn't let you have transistor radios. They wouldn't let you do this. They wouldn't let you do that. They were spending more time punishing than teaching. Yeah. And they were just like corporal punishment and then I came to the California School for the Blind, and all of a sudden there was like freedom, and there was a way to talk to somebody when something wasn't the way it was supposed to be, which made things much better. People in California were much more, in some ways more liberal, but at least more understanding. God, I mean.
Yeah.
You know?
California is a much more liberal state than of course, when you think of New York. Of course, they have a nice Democratic senator that's a favorite of mine. New York State does.
Yeah.
That's going to be our next president, I hope. Anyway, when you got to California, how old were you when they finally moved to California?
I think I was 11. Seems to me I was 11. That part of my life is a little vague because I had a lot of family problems and things that just... We traveled across the country. My sister remembers all the things that happened completely different than I do.
Really?
So neither one of us know which one of us is really... I mean, I know that I was right because I was... sober. I've never drank. I've never smoked pot. I've never done any of the hallucinogenics. I got dosed once with acid, but, that was not of my own choice. It didn't do anything to me except make me feel like I had the flu for several hours, which to me, I said, if this is what it does to other people, this is a complete waste of time.
Why would anyone want to do it if this is what it makes you do?
Yeah, well, that's what it felt like to me. I mean, hearing weird music and feeling like I wanted to get sick. And the combination was just not anything any fun.
But they sent you to the California School for the Blind, and it was much more liberal, and you liked it pretty well.
Yeah.
How about Braille? Did they teach you Braille? The old.
Yeah. I mean, I already kind of knew Braille from when I was at the New York Institute. I started reading Braille when I was like 5 or 6.
Really? And California was much better for you. You liked it a whole lot better. It was a lot more freedom. And so, did you graduate there?
Yeah. I mean, I went there through ninth grade when I did my freshman in high school there.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know it, but when I did my freshman there, they gave me so many credits that I had done my freshman and my sophomore year there.
Really?
And then when I went to high school at Redwood High School in Larkspur, which Larkspur is a couple of towns south of here, south of Novato. It's south of San Rafael, where Guide Dogs is.
Uh-huh.
And I basically went to high school my junior and senior year at Redwood and graduated.
That's a regular public school.
Yeah. And by then, I was able to, like, read Braille and organize notes and try to, they did this weird thing my last year at public school, which was real strange. They decided our last semester to let us meet and be part of an 8-week thing where we were part of all the four history teachers' classes, which really screwed me up because they all were teaching different histories. And if you can only imagine what that must have been like, teaching different histories and then they're sort of teaching curriculums of each part of those different histories, and then you end up in your homeroom class at the end of the 8 weeks and get a test from your regular teacher, and it just made no sense. I think I almost flunked my senior year of history because of that mess. And he understood and just said, here, you know, read this and then write me an essay on it and do the best you can, and I'll deal with it.
Read this and write me an essay. Read how would you read it? How are you going to read it in Braille?
No, I had a reader and she came in and read me this thing, and you know, my mom could have been my reader, but
we always want young female readers. Just that
yes,
would be,
that's right. We want Janet?
That's the kind. I'd like to have some now that would come and read to me. But at my age, anyway.
Can I say something interesting about his high school?
Yeah.
There was a famous comedian actor that also went to high school at the same time as Felix.
Oh, who was that?
And Robin Williams.
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams went to high school with you?
Yep.
Whoa! That's quite a thing. Did you know him? Did you talk to him? Is he?
I think he might have been. He's either a year older than me or a year younger than me. I'm not quite sure which. He was in one of my classes. He was really quiet. He walked around with a suitcase and. I don't know. I walked around with a suitcase full of stuff, too. I mean, you know, a briefcase full of stuff. Some of us did. I used to have people who would take me from one class to another just because the cane travel. The school was fairly big, and some classes I needed help to get from one to another, and some I didn't. Usually after a couple of weeks, I didn't need help anymore so much, but
I wouldn't
it was nice to have those friends.
Oh, it's always nice to have friends, especially in high school. High school is such a bad time for most people, but you don't remember much about Robin Williams. You didn't really know him, but he...
No, I didn't really know
he
him.
He was real quiet. I can't imagine Robin Williams being quiet. That's weird.
Oh, man. No, I know. Because he sort of he emerged after that, and
yeah, he's the modern-day Jonathan Winters is what he is. He's a lot of his stuff is based on the old stuff Jonathan Winters did. Okay, so you graduated high school. What idea did you have that you... Had you started playing guitar by then, playing music?
Oh, yeah, I started playing... When I was in high school, I was playing in our high school jazz ensemble my last year. And my last year, I was already out playing in the bars and going to high school at the same time. And the thing is, I wasn't 21, but as long as I didn't, like, in the band I was in, we just kind of had a thing where, you know, we just would come in, go straight to the stage, set up, do our job, and never talk to the bartender, never interact in any kind of way with people who, you know, might get you in trouble. So you kind of kept to the band, and if you needed anything, you asked one of the older people in the band to deal with it. And people didn't trip on me. You know, I was different enough, and they didn't really ever, you know, tag me or ID me or whatever.
You say you didn't drink anyway, so it didn't make any difference. You didn't want to drink.
No. In fact, I saw one girl in Khartoum. She was told specifically, she was 18, and she was, you know, when we went to go play at Zach's, they said, whatever you do, Jennifer, you just got to do what we normally do. And she went up to a bar, and she's going to ask for a soda, and they asked her age, and we lost the gig.
Really?
Yeah, and it was that, you know, so why don't you just ask somebody else to go get it for you, you know? She's weird.
Felix was also a little bit older than the average high school graduate.
He was
20 when he graduated.
You were 20 when you graduated. Well, that's not that unusual, but that's a little too old. Most kids are 17, 18 when they graduate.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I moved from California to California. And when I was in fourth grade, I was a bit older than.
Yeah.
And I would have been 21 when I graduated if they hadn't done the freshman and sophomore thing in 1 year at CSB.
Yeah, if they hadn't given you all those credits, you'd have been 21. Well,
yeah.
So you were playing in band. Did you ever have to take any lessons from anyone on guitar?
When I was in fourth grade, I went to Mrs. Sell's after-school guitar class, and my friend Jeff Bloyd and I were playing together. We were roommates, and we kind of started to like excel at playing together. And I mean, I've been used to playing in bands since I was in fourth and fifth grade, and still. I try to convince my friend Jeff to this day that he really needs to learn how to play bass, because if he knew how to play bass, it opens up a whole other world of playing guitar, because you can mix guitar and bass together. When you play by yourself, you get the accompaniment thing going like Tuck Andrus, from Tuck and Patty.
Uh-huh.
It gives you a whole opening, a whole world of playing multiple things at the same time. When playing guitar, like if you take the Chuck version of You Can't Take That Away From Me, when Jeff heard me play that, he hadn't seen me in 17 years, and he heard me play that, and he went, "That's two guitar players." I went, "No, it's not." He went, "It is two." And I said, "Wait a minute." And I grabbed my guitar, and I played it for him, and he just sat there and went, "Oh, my."
Because you were finger-picking. You were keeping rhythm on the three bass strings and playing the lead on the three, on the little strings.
I was playing bass and chords at the same time, through moving through chords with moving bass lines, with walking bass lines and hitting chords in them. Mm-hmm. So as the quarter notes moved, sometimes the chord would change, sometimes it didn't, but the bass line was moving constantly.
I wish you had an acoustic guitar. You could show us that.
I'll get one.
Yeah, if you had an acoustic guitar, you could show us how that. I'd like to. I don't exactly know what you're talking about, but I think I will when I hear it. But so you took a few lessons, you and your buddy, and just went on from there. Taught yourself from there.
Yeah. It just and hung around with the sighted guys and listened to what they do and. What I found, interestingly enough, was that I began to play more like the sighted guys around me. I didn't try to make my own, because, I mean, there's a point where, you can kind of make your own, but it's not, it's got to fit in the sighted world. You know what I mean?
You have to fit in a sighted world.
Yes.
It is your job as a blind person to fit in. It is a sighted world, and we're not going to change that. It's your job as a blind person to learn to fit in that world and learn to how to cope with that world and learn how to do things like a sighted person. I'm sorry it's that way, but it is.
It is that way.
And it's your job to fit in, not theirs to fit in with you. All right, so you have a guitar.
Yep, I do.
It is, what is it? Is
I
it
have a... What is this?
It's a Taylor.
Which model is it, Janet?
Really?
I don't know.
Well, Janet, we look to you for things like this, Janet.
And this guitar, you know what, Phil? This Taylor. Oh, this Taylor is one of.
What model?
It's not 412 CE.
Where does it say?
I don't know. Stay up here. Doesn't say in here. No, I don't know.
That's a question later.
Anyway. It's not an in-tune guitar this time.
Oh, you can tune it right here on the radio. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I heard a little segment there of anyway, it's kind of like if you take two parts, the bass part and the chords at once and just kind of go.
Okay.
See what I mean? There's just a mixture of bass and guitar at the same time.
That's really nice.
Or if you kind of go. It's Joe Pass-ish, kind of, and,
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that mixer. And this Taylor, by the way, has big frets in it.
Big frets? What do you mean? You mean it higher than usual?
They're way higher. They're what you normally put in electric guitars. Anyway,
it really sounds good. I've never seen a Taylor guitar. I've heard a lot about them. They're supposed to be very good guitars.
They're pretty happy. I mean, I personally like this guitar better than Martin's.
Really?
There's something about their the sustain and the clarity there's a certain kind of and when you saw me live, I was playing an electric guitar through a battery operated amp or something that day, I don't know.
Electricity.
I guess we had electricity out there, but there are times where Lee and I played through amp cans and weird battery-operated garbage out on the street. It was pretty funny. And, you know, it is battery-operated garbage. Some of it just sounds like toys. It's like, what? You know, you don't have a real sound, so.
What? And you like that better than you like? Do you have a Martin?
No. No, I played a lot of Martins in my life, and I just find every now and then I'll find a really good one. But a lot of times there's something about them that you know. I mean, if I get to set them all up and make them, but for one thing, on a Taylor, okay, you know what? A lot of times when you go like on a Martin, it'll be like or just a little bit off one way or the other to 12th fret, and if you go like this, see, I mean, look how far that.
Yeah.
That's way up, you know. That's like almost
that's
up in the
third.
Last.
That's up in third position. Boy, that's pretty high up.
Yeah, and you know what? This guitar's in tune up there.
It is.
But you take a lot of Martins, you have to do some work to the bridge to get them to where they are in tune up there.
Or you have to know Martins. All Martins tune different. You have to know how to tune that particular Martin in order to make it. In order to make it do that.
But if you had to tune, if it's not in tune, like at the 12th fret or at the 16th fret or whatever, you know, if it's not in tune there because the bridge wasn't put in the right place, when you go to play an E chord or an A chord or a D chord or G, stuff's going to be
that. Yeah.
And what is that? That's no good.
Yeah.
So this guitar, when I played it in the store, I was just going, dang. You know, I don't find guitars. I find some cheap guitars now that you can get for $200 where they're in tune, and yet people spend ridiculous amounts of money on Martins, and they may not
be
in tune.
Sorry, Cat likes to chew on stuff.
Well, of course, I have 9 Martin guitars.
You have 9 of them?
I do.
Wow, how many are in tune at the 12th fret?
I have no idea. I will probably go look when we get through. I really don't have 9 Martins.
It's kind of interesting because, they released a guitar that was Guitar of the Month from their shop, right?
Uh-huh.
And my friend Mitch, who's a luthier, had it. He refretted this guitar because I was afraid. Because this guitar, Taylors are kind of, the wood's really thin and, I didn't want to hammer frets into it. I just kind of went, you know what, I'm going to let somebody who's hammered many, many, many more frets into a guitar than I ever have.
That's probably a good idea.
I've maybe done 19 in my life, but this guy's done probably 900 or more.
Really?
You know, or 9,000 or more, maybe. You know, he's done Joe Louis Walker's guitars.
Why did it need refretting?
It didn't. I just wanted big frets on it. I just wanted it so that when I play lead on it, it's clearer than it was.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just a clearer guitar. The bigger frets. Now, some guys will say, "Oh, but I don't like big frets." Well, you know what? If you have them set up right, and if you have the guitar really set up right, you get clearer enunciation. When you do stuff like that, it's really there. You know,
which is kind of a Chet Atkinsy lick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've heard him use that. Let me explain. I don't have nine Martin box guitars. I have, let's say, two D28s. I have a J40. Uh-huh. I have two D28s. I have a J40. I have a couple little cutaway Martins. I have a Martin regular bass and a Martin fretless bass.
Wow.
And a Martin acoustic bass and a Martin electric, believe it or not.
Wow.
Martin made an electric guitar.
And did you hear purring?
They made one run of them. What?
Did you hear a cat purring go by?
I did not.
Oh.
No.
Well, it went by the computer. And
I didn't.
They do that just to annoy me.
I missed that. Is that right? Do that just to annoy you? Well, you certainly play well. There's no question about that.
What was that?
I say you certainly play well. You make some really, really nice chords. I love them. I need you to teach me those when you come next year to the gathering.
Yep. Well, there, you know, I always try to find books on chords, and I find that that's the hard thing to find is books on chords where the audio is there for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, although, you know, I have ways around it, you know, like a phrase trainer. And I listen to a lot of Eric Johnson, who's from Austin. You know.
Okay, so it's obvious that you are a major, that you're a jazz fan. If you know about Joe Pass and you know about people like that, you're a jazz fan. You like jazz.
I like jazz, but I'm a blues guitar player.
Well, I was going to say.
I can play hard rock, I can play blues, I can play country, and
yeah.
I mean, you know, to a degree. I'm not as good a country player as, although Jeffrey says, Jeffrey plays in a country band, and he goes, man, you know, really, you play country better than I do. You're just technically able to do things. And he said, the scary thing is, you sit and play with my band when I'm sitting in the audience, and you do things I wouldn't even think of doing, and just come up with stuff. And I said, yeah, well, trouble is, it messes with their keyboard player, because she just doesn't know how to deal with what I might pull.
Yeah.
You know, but well, I don't do that to her. It just happens.
Who needs her then? You know, if she doesn't understand it, we don't need her. And so you figured when you got out of school that you could make a living playing music. That's all you've really ever done?
That's I've done recording engineer work and I've done mixing, and I have a master that I made for the band that I currently play in, although they may end up using this other company. I think that it's because they kind of promised themselves to that company already, and yet they let me make a master of it to see what it would come out like. And so I have that. Actually, it's in a zip file in my in the laptop here.
Now, did you do that? Did you make that master from your? Don't you have a 24 track Tascam, right?
Yes, I do.
Alesis or Tascam? Which one?
It's a Tascam 2488.
And now, does that have a mixer with it, or do you have to have an outboard mixer?
No, essentially it's got a 24-track mixer.
Yeah.
It can only record on 8 tracks at a time.
That's all right.
But it has a 24-track mixer in it.
How often do you want to record on more than 8 tracks at a time? Very seldom.
If I want to record people live, what we actually do, if we need more than 8 tracks, you know, Steven and I have already figured out a way to MIDI these two machines together. We both have 2488s. He MIDI'd his machine and my machine together to where when you hit record, both of them went into record together.
Is that
and,
right?
That way we could record 16, and we know other people will have them, so we could get 3 of them and record 24-track live if we wanted.
Because if you mic the drums, that'll use up 8 tracks right there.
If you mic them right, it will.
Although, you know, I like, sometimes it sounds more natural to record with, you know, 3 or 4 mics on the drums.
Well, you got to have a mic. You got to have a mic on the bass drum and the snare drum, and you might get by with the cymbals and toms all on one mic or on 2 mics.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could do. 2 mics, so you get the stereo feel effect, and you can get the cymbals and toms. And
probably work all right with just 4 mics. It just depended on how much noise you got from other things, from how much bleed over you got from other amplifiers. You know.
Yeah. Well, and we even had that happen when we recorded it. What do you call it? At Expressions. Expressions is a school for recording engineers.
Uh-huh.
And I've recorded their two or three times, it seems like now.
Did you teach there, or did you were you taking instructions or teaching there?
No, I was just recording with bands there live.
You're playing guitar there.
Yeah, it's expensive to go to school there. It's very expensive.
Can I explain?
Sure.
They invite bands to practice on, for their students to practice on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you got to have something to work. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. This master that you made for your band, they're going to go to some other company and have them redo what you've already done?
They may. I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to charge them $500, and I'm just kind of laughing, going, you know what? They're just going to do what I did.
You know what I'd do? If they did that, I would take my master and hide it and put it up somewhere and not let them have it. They figure because you did it free, it couldn't be worth a damn. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's on a CD. They have two copies of it.
I doubt if these people will do it any better than you did if it's well, probably.
No, I mean, I could send you an MP3 of it, and it sounds good even in MP3.
Yeah.
It's, the thing is, the way I looked at it is this, Phil. The bass part, all the walking bass lines in it are pretty darn even. You know how, like, some people, when they master, some notes will be louder than others in the bass part? I fought real hard to keep that from happening. I got the vocals loud enough and clear enough that you can understand every word. I made it so the solos are all hearable, and I made it so that the cymbals sounded real. And I couldn't understand what more you'd want in a good master.
It's
loud enough.
Yeah.
Some people say it might be a bit trebly, but an MP3 it's not trebly.
It depends on what speakers you're listening to.
Yeah, but if you use JBL 4410s, I mean, what more?
They probably didn't listen to it through as good as speakers. I think that's part of what's going on here.
I think they listen to it on Mike's Yamahas.
Well, of course, the whole world is controlled by your monitor. If your monitor is not flat, in other words, if your monitor adds bass to things, then you are naturally going to roll bass off.
Yeah.
Vice versa. If your monitor's fairly flat, then you probably did them a pretty good mix. And you know whether it's flat or not by listening. The way you know is by listening to other people's, listening to stuff somebody's. I used Joan Baez CD for years and years to as my test CD to set my monitor with. Christopher Cross. I used a Christopher Cross CD for a long time.
With the one with Ride Like the Wind on it? Or?
Yeah, I love that CD. My God, that's a wonderful album.
It is.
I like
it is, and I have that album in my, that album in my bedroom. I was using Lee Ritenour digital recordings, New York LA Dream Band. When I was trying to mix it, generally, I just wanted to make it sound good as it stood anyway.
Yeah.
You know, the things that were strung in their mix. The thing is that I should have just mixed their album because there was things about the mix to start with that made me have to change some things in the mastering to accommodate for what either was mixed the way it could have been. And, you know, some guys, when they master, they do this other process where you take all the drum tracks separate of the master and you sort of do a slight remix on things. You take segments of it and introduce them in so you can get the life back in certain things. Because even though somebody turned it into two track, it may have lost some life because somebody didn't realize what they lost. So you reintroduce the drums maybe or reintroduce the vocals slightly and it brings things in closer and more to your spatial face, as it were.
Your spatial face.
Well, boy,
what a great term. Your spatial face. I love it.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful. Is that your term or did you read that somewhere?
No, it's just a term. I was trying to think of words that would explain what I was thinking.
I got it. I like that term. I'll steal that from you if you don't mind.
All right.
You'll hear me say that on other Blind Like Me shows. Why don't you play something you've written?
I've written?
Yeah, if you don't mind. Do you have time? We have time.
Well, you know what I like to do?
What?
I'll send you a file of something I wrote.
Well, he wants to.
And then, huh?
Well, yeah, but you're right here right now. Why don't you just do it right now for us?
Oh. something I've written.
Yeah, just play something you've written. It doesn't have to be. We're not looking for perfection. Remember, this is blind like me. We screw up all the time. We don't mind screwing up. We're okay.
I just normally don't play single guitar by myself. I don't do like those. Oh, I let me see. Okay, something I wrote here.
It doesn't have to be something wrote. Play okay. I just want to hear you play.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me see if this is in tune. Is this happy? It's almost happy.
Pretty close.
If I'd known I was going to do this, I would have tuned it before.
Well, but then we would have lost the spontaneity of it if you tuned it before, Felix. Remember, we just do things here. We don't worry about it.
That's right. Okay. I gotta use a real pick. I use this thing.
You gotta use it.
Janet caught me using a pick I never use.
Stop for a second, please.
What?
This pick he was using is signed by, or wasn't signed. It was from Little Charlie Beatty from Charlie and the Nightcats.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd put that pick up. I wouldn't use that pick. I'd put it up and as a to put it.
You know what? I didn't even know. I didn't even know that that was the pick I was using either.
Could put it in the Felix Bannon Museum, Janet, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
No, I didn't write that.
No, I didn't figure you did, but I wasn't gonna say anything. Listen, I don't want to put you on the spot. You can just send me if you want to send me a file.
I want to send you what I normally do, and not necessarily sit here and noodle around and try to play something that I haven't played in 20 years and try to I'm sitting there playing Dan Fogelberg. That's not what I do.
I saw Dan Fogelberg in concert, and he has lowered most of the things he does. He's lowered them a step.
You know, that's what Davey Pattison did. Davey Pattison, who sings with Robin Trower.
Yeah.
You know, like when he played Bridge of Sighs, we play that in E, but like if we play, what is it, Daydream? What does it go? Tune and retune the whole guitar down a whole step, and to me, I mean, you know, I just almost had to bring two guitars. I mean, I retune, but it's like in a really noisy environment. Sometimes I wish I go out to the car and retune in the car where I can hear. You know, and all these people going, and you're trying to retune quietly in between sets, and you know, you want to go take a break, and you got like this whole, you know, how that goes.
I don't know where to put this pick.
I know how it goes only too well. I did clubs longer than I wanted to. I did clubs because I had to eat. I needed the money, and so I did lots of clubs and lots for a long, long time. Like I said, a whole lot longer than I wanted to, and I'm thank God I don't have to do that anymore.
Well, I don't know. I enjoy playing, so even though, you know, what?
At one of Felix's gig, a person made a pick out of solid gold.
Really?
One time. I want to put this pick with that pick, but I can't remember where that one is right now. Because I don't really have a good place to... Do you have a good idea for displaying picks or saving picks?
I have no idea. I have two little pick pouches is all the picks I have. You know, I have a friend who uses a wooden pick. Have you ever seen one?
I see my good break.
It's a pick made out of very thin wood, and it gives you that sound that you associate with those old, like an old lounge guitar player. It gives you really kind of a muffled, bassy sound on your guitar.
So it's sort of like, kind of like as if you use a thumb, sort of?
You kind of like that, but it's just kind of a real bassy kind of a sound like you'd hear some of these old torch singers singing singing old pop songs. A friend of mine named Bucky Meadows and my friend Randy Prince, who's a hell of a guitar player, used a wooden pick, and it gave a very strange sound. You're familiar at all with Willie Nelson?
Yeah.
You knew Willie Nelson.
You know Jackie King?
No.
Jackie King played with Willie.
Is that right?
He was one of Willie's guitar players, and he played like on a 50s and 60s cartoons, and I mean he's world known. He's an amazing guitar player. He's from Texas. I'm surprised you don't know him.
I do not. You can't.
Anyway, well, Jackie lives here in the Bay Area. He lives in Mill Valley. And I said to Jackie one day, I said, Jackie, you know, I got this thing where, you know, nobody ever taught me really the proper methods of flat picking. And he said, well, you know, the thing is, there really isn't necessarily a right way, but I give you some ideas. And so in 15 minutes, he changed my whole world of it and made me start using these hard Dunlap picks. Now, the interesting thing about the... Wow. Is that the gold one?
I found the gold one.
Wait, let me see what happens when...
Wait, I'm sorry. Finish your story.
Well, Jackie just... He gave me this one really thick pick and said, I want you to use this for a couple of weeks, and then I want you to use this. But I want you to start using this because this will change your whole perception. And, of course, it did. It was miserable. It was like... exercising. It was like weird, you know. Now the thing is, so now I've been using my finger and a pick at the same time, like that, you know.
Did you decide you like this big heavy pick or not?
Yeah, I like it. And what's interesting about it is where normally it's articulate. It's articulate, but if you hold it loosely in your fingers, it goes... See, it has a whole different...
little playback machine quit working. I think I have it fixed. Let me 17, 18, 19, 20. Let's see if it's...
It's articulate.
It right.
It's articulate, but if you hold it loosely in your fingers, it goes... See, it has a whole different kind of...
Yeah.
A real kind of mellow, pretty sound.
Of course, I don't play anything but chords, but I use the heaviest, biggest, thickest pick I can find, like those old guys who play rhythm for fiddle players use.
Yeah.
I use a big old thick pick to play, but I just play chords. I don't play any lead at all. You'll see. Y'all are coming next to November, aren't you?
I hope.
Not this November, but November 08. You got to start saving. You got to come, y'all, because this will be
It wasn't even a matter of not having the money. It was a matter of other things.
This will be the last one. If you don't make this one, you missed it.
Oh no!
This will be the last one. We're gonna do the final Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me shows that in November of 08, and I'm gonna retire.
You are.
I'm gonna retire from this. Yep. Enough is enough. Yeah, that'll be the final two shows we're going to do down there. And so you need to come. If you don't, like I said, if you don't make this one, let's see where we are here.
Wow.
This year, I missed something. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Jane.
Is that this year? This year? Or no, it's next year.
No, it's next year. It's 08. It's 08. We'll start planning for it in probably February of 08. And
we went last time, my daughter... You know, I didn't have to take care of my daughter.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You had some family things to do, and y'all couldn't come.
Yeah,
but you need to come and meet everybody. We're all going to be there. We're going to try to get as many from the list as we can. Y'all have been on the list a long time now. That San Francisco trip was a long time ago.
Uh-huh. October 2003 is when I joined the list.
Yeah, it was 2003 because we went.
Wow, so that's when that. When did?
Just before that, I guess. Was it in October? I can't remember when you tripped to San Francisco.
It was in October. It was right before that because we started Blind Like Me in July of 2003.
No kidding.
No.
I'm one of the first people.
You've been on the list a long time. You've seen a lot of folks come and go.
Wow.
We miss old Henry, don't we, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've got to get him back going. So, Felix, you're basically played music. Have you ever had a real job, a job in that you went to 8 to 5 or?
I did for 3 weeks? I don't know. I've had different ones, but I haven't done a lot of jobs like that. And it's not that I'm unwilling to. It just, I worked for Finial Technology when they were trying to develop the laser turntable. I got to go to work and play records all day long. It was great.
Well, this is when Mike May was working with Sendero.
Yep. Before Sendero. I mean, when Mike May was working at Finial Technology.
Yeah, and they spent a lot of money. They got a lot of grants trying to build a laser turntable.
Yeah, and I got to use it. I mean, I played with a lot of laser turntables, and I knew all the things that were right with it and all the things that were wrong with it, and, you know, I kind of knew what was going on, and then they figured it out eventually, and then I think they sold it to some company called Carillon, and then I think they may have, I don't know, I don't know anything anymore about it. I don't like turntables. I can do without them.
It's the only way. Sometimes the only way to get some of that music is with a turntable.
Well, yeah, that's true. And I mean, the turntable we have in this house is probably I'll probably find a better one. You know, and if I'm going to have one, I think we should have one really good one.
Yeah.
But I mean, I used to use $3,000 turntables at work.
Well, excuse me.
You start to realize what really does work in a turntable, what doesn't.
It's my turntable.
Well, hey, it's better than no turntable.
Yeah.
I just worry about the needle and the anti-skate adjustment and all that stuff that makes the record sound distorted at the end or clear through the whole record. And, you know, that was my job at work. And spoiled when you use $3,000.
There were many, many years when that's all we had. I mean, that was our only way of... there was no improvement in music technology delivery to the consumer from 1948 through about 1984.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's amazing to me that it went that long. And now, you know, now we're CDs are they're now archaic technology. Nobody buys CDs anymore. All the kids listen to music on MP3 or, you know, everybody puts music on their hard drive or their thumb drive or a flash card or something, you know?
Well, it's still, I mean, the thing is that they're the ones who are losing because they're heading back toward the archaic technology in the sense that when you start taking things and put them on MP3, you're losing a lot of the good sound that was on the CD at 16-bit 44.1, you know. And then in the studio, they're recording the stuff at like 24-bit. You know, or 96-bit and whatever. You know, I couldn't believe this one album. I mean, it wasn't like we were trying to record the world, and it wasn't going to sound any significant bit different by what they did, but they just went way over the top in terms of space on a hard drive that the album took up.
This is the album that you did where? Did it at this school?
No, at the school, they're doing 16-bit 44.1. You know, because when they sent me the files, that's what they were. They're 16-bit 44.1. And yet, when we were at my friend's house, he's recording stuff at like 96, you know, just crazy, crazy. I'm going, why are you doing this? Oh, it's just, what did he call it? You know, it just makes it way better. And I said, I don't hear any significant difference in this. It's just taking a whole bunch more hard drive space, you know,
So I took my PTR-1, which is the Plextalk recorder that will record at all different bit rates. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I fed some pink noise into the PTR-1, about 5 minutes worth of pink noise into the PTR-1 at 128 stereo. 128 stereo. Yeah. Then I listened to the pink noise, and then I switched back and forth, left and right. You could hear with a switch, you could switch back and forth from the 128 MP3 file back to the pink noise generator. I could not tell the difference.
The reason is because when you take in and compress the audio with the pink noise, you'll notice it in drums and cymbals more than you will, because they're constantly fluctuating, and the MP3 format tries to make it sound the same, but inherently at 128 there's definite loss. There's the high end just ends up being a little bit flaky, and things just end up being just a little more floatish. And, you know, I mean, to hear what actually happens, go below 128 and you'll start to really hear it. Then it could get really bad.
Oh, well, yeah, below 128, you get start sounding like this.
Exactly.
I understand that. But at 128, the reproduction just blew me away. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but you have to actually use a song where things are constantly changing, like bass amounts, drums amounts, cymbals amounts, vocal amounts, and then, you know, you listen to it at 128, or then listen to it at 256, and then you listen to it at 44/116-bit, and listen to it through speakers that are really high fidelity speakers. Yeah. And then you'll start to hear what actually is happening. But kids are not.
How is that? It was kind of a nice way of saying my monitor wasn't high fidelity, wasn't it? It's kind of a.
Well, what were you using? I don't know. You know, I tried headphones.
Some three-way JBL speakers.
Yeah, I was using some JBL 44-1s when I did that test.
These were nice three-way JBLs. I don't know what the model number is, but they're really nice speakers. With as far as I know, my monitor is fairly flat. Maybe not perfectly, but pretty close.
Does it have adjustments for the mid-range and the tweeter in terms of...
Well, I have an equalizer on it. I have one equalizer on each channel.
Uh-huh.
So I can adjust from there. The speakers have adjustments, but I just turn them up all... They're just up all the way. I don't mess with those. I do it with equalizer and pink noise.
Yeah, I always have just left them turned down to flat and just a tiny bit more, because my room kind of... I don't have them up all the way, though. I've never ran them up all the way. But it is interesting that, you know, then I end up having to turn stuff down. And
of course, I'm getting old, and my ears aren't as good as they used to be, but I can't hear highs as nearly like I could at one time.
Me neither. It's from us playing in bands, man. And started blowing herself apart.
That's from all
and
this
I keep telling my friends, like, when I saw Eric Johnson live, the bass was so loud and so, like, heavy that you couldn't even tell what notes were being played exactly. And I felt kind of bad, because I know what they're supposed to be. He was playing a lot of double stopping and stuff in the bass. And I thought, you know, he's doing all that, and people are not hearing it. You can't tell what it is.
I think they do that intentionally to just... destroy anybody's homemade recordings of.
You think so?
Yeah, that's my thoughts, because I've seen that a lot lately. And why would they intentionally do that with the basic? That's the only reason.
Well, you're deafening the audience. And if you go ask people on the street, you know, do they like to go hear live music? And they say, no, why? It's too loud. And if the public doesn't start to, if the bands don't start to figure this out pretty soon, you know, they're going to lose a lot of their audience.
People just get tired
of being assaulted.
You're in a club and you can't talk to anybody because the music's so loud.
No, and it's one thing when it's loud enough to sound good, and even if it's just a touch loud. But we're not talking a touch loud here. We're talking, this was so loud I had to bury earplugs in as deep as I could, as hard as I could.
This wasn't a club, though. This was a concert theater.
Yeah, it was an actual theater, but they're just blowing the walls off the back of the wall. We were upstairs in the upper area so that maybe we could hear mid-ranges and treble out there.
But you couldn't. You know why they do that? You know why they do that? Because they can.
Yeah.
Because they have the pits. It's the same reason cops stop people on the road and search their cars, because they know how to do that. They can do that. That's something they've been taught how to do, rather than actually solving crimes. I'm sort of an anti-establishment kind of a guy. Listen.
Oh, I was just going to say, we were right beside the sound man, too. We were right by the soundboard.
Yeah, I was thinking, what the hell are you hearing? How can you discern what you're even hearing?
He had no ear plugs in. Maybe he's deaf. Maybe
he was looking at the meters and hoping for the best, you know?
I guess.
I mean, you know, because that's just too
all right,
loud.
Felix and Janet, we're out. We've killed an hour, believe it or not. Just shooting the breeze and talking and having a good time. If you'll send me two or three clips or maybe a half dozen different tunes that you've done or things that you're involved in, we'll wait a month or two and then come back and do another show with your music.
Okay.
Would that be good? Can you they're not going to sound real sterling on ACB radio anyway, so just MP3 compress them and email them to me.
Yeah, okay. I can do that. Yeah, I can do that right now.
All right, Janet, thank you. Felix, thank you, guys. We're going to go, and I'll talk to you in a day or two.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, Phil, you take care. And
hang on just a minute. I sincerely hope that he comes to our gathering in Owaite, as he's a fine guitar player, and I'd love to have him play on some tunes. He's a good fellow and a good guitar player, I think. And bring Janet with you, of course. We hope you'll all come to Owaite. That'll be the final chapter of all this, the blind man and blind like me, but we still have a year or so to go, so never disparage. We do need, of course, guests. Always need guests, and you would make a good guest. I mean you. Right there, sitting in your living room or wherever you are in your easy chair, you'd be a good guest for this show. So email me, Phil Parr, PHILPARR, at Consolidated, CONSOLIDATED, Consolidated.net, and Phil Parr, Consolidated.net, and I'll email you back. We'll set up a time and do an interview with you. How about that? That'd be fun. A lot of folks think it's kind of fun to do radio and hear themselves back, huh? Anyway, you can call if you like, 936-634-9500. That would be okay, too. But primary way would be, of course, email me. We need guests for Handyman also, the Blind Handyman Show. You can email me, and I'll get you to Don Shaw, who books the guests for that show. Thanks for listening. And we'll do it again next week. And I'm Phil Parr, and bye-bye. See you next week.